And we're going to be looking mainly at one verse this morning, Ephesians chapter 5, and looking at the topic of Thanksgiving, kind of taking a quick break from our series in the book of Mark. And so Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 20, and we'll kind of mention the context a little bit more here in just a little bit. But Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 20, notice that Paul says, giving thanks always. Giving thanks always. And what's the next word there? For everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the mess. Let's just go and pray and go home. No, I'm just kidding. Now think about that for just a second. Verse number 20. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many of us, when we take a personal evaluation about what you and I are willing and what we might naturally be thankful for, how many of us, if you're like me, your willingness and what comes naturally falls short of that verse? Or am I the only one? One verse says a lot, and there's others that are similar. And we'll look at those, a handful of those in the time ahead. Sam Crabtree, who's writing on thankfulness, I'm really thankful for, read a good portion of his book on thankfulness this last week. Sam Crabtree, he writes this. He says, gratitude reveals each person's core. Gratitude reveals each person's core, his priorities, his presuppositions, his understanding of God and his ways. It's amazing, this thing of thankfulness. Not only does it give us an indicator of how we are doing internally, if we are thankful, it can really direct our hearts in a beautiful way toward God and in a beautiful way toward others. Gary Collins, who is a Christian psychologist, says this, that the core, and here's a quote, the core ingredient of mental health is gratitude. How important really is gratitude? Just recently, I came across a story, and just about a week ago, parents of six boys, all under the age of 10, had a gender reveal party. And they figured that this would be their last child, and so they wanted to make a big deal about it. They invited family over. They had this big celebration. And the family that was there, I mean, six boys, statistically, where do you think that this is going to end up? So this gender reveal party, and both parents in this picture, in fact, if you want to throw it up there real quick, both the parents had cannons in their hands that had confetti that had the color, you know, whether pink or blue or whatever. And so at the count of three, you know, those cannons went off. But they wanted the surprise to be, they wanted the reveal to be a surprise to everyone, including them. And so what they did was they gave these cannons, these bags of cannons, to the technician, the ultrasound technicians. And they said, hey, whichever one it is, just go and put the right one in the right bag. And so in the end, they took a third bag home that had the right color in it, gave it back to Sarah. And at the celebration, there was so much excitement. There were five cameras that were rolling. Again, statistically, in all the family, they're thinking, there's no way it could be anything but a boy. And if you look at the surprised look on this family's face, I mean, if you watch the video online, it's pretty awesome. You can really see it here in the picture as well. But the mom, she basically like crumbles to the ground, all this pink confetti going up in the air. And you can really just feel the excitement even just on this picture. It's pretty awesome. They have five cameras rolling to make sure that they got it. Five cameras rolling. Pretty exciting day. Nothing what they expected. A huge turn. And I'm thinking here, I'm looking at this family, I'm like, that is going to be one well-protected girl. That's my thought. Think about a couple months ago. back in on September 18th. This was in Australia. Okay. There was a Mercedes-Benz that was parked in an affluent area of the city near a water main. And at 10 o'clock that night, the water main broke. I don't know when along the way they discovered that it was eroding part of the ground, but eventually that Mercedes-Benz ended up in this sinkhole. In fact, you can throw it up there real quick. I don't know how well you can see that. But that car has basically disappeared. The ground underneath, because of the erosion of this water main, that car went completely. Two completely different emotions. Two completely different, and we're like, and for me and Jessica, I know it was always exciting, you know, okay, what's the baby going to be? Some pretty big news. But then sometimes there's things that happen in our life, and I don't know about you, that there are certain events that me personally, I would put in a category and say, okay, this is pretty cool, this is pretty awesome, you know. You get an unexpected check in the mail. How many of us have given thanks for something like that? We're like, oh, God, thank you. God, you're being so good to me. But then there are some other events in my life, I can say, that I would put in a completely different category. This is the other category. This is the not so good stuff. This is like, okay, this is obviously good over here. I've got a reason to be thankful for this. But then this over here. And how many of us, just by looking, taking a look at this one verse, and there are others in the Bible, what does the Bible say? Giving thanks what? It's not a trick question. Always and for everything. It's easy to be thankful when we get an unexpected check in the mail. But how about when we get an unexpected bill in the mail? How many of us have discovered that medical bills are not getting any cheaper? They're not getting any less. And yet the Bible tells us, giving thanks always and for everything. And we're talking about something here that doesn't come naturally, but the Holy Spirit of God does help us in this area. In fact, that's the entire context that we'll look here at a sec, or in just a little bit. The Spirit, the enablement that we receive from the Spirit to give thanks even when we might not feel like it. G.K. Chesterton, if we could have that quote on the screen there, he writes this: I would maintain that thanks are the highest form of thought, and that gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder. Did you catch that? The highest form of thought, and that gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder. And I think the reason for this is that when we give thanks, we attribute that gift that has been given to someone. We know that all good things come from God. And so when we receive a gift from God, when we receive a blessing from Him, it directs our thoughts upward toward Him. And we're lost in wonder, because how is it that a God that is so high and holy, that He would set His thoughts upon us to bless us? Gratefulness is the mindset of the wise. And the reason is because it is rooted in consciousness, the consciousness of the presence and providence of God. It is the mindset of the wise, because I understand that this precious gift, whatever it might be, it has come from a loving God who has set His heart, His mind upon me. It didn't just come out of a vacuum. Have we read the Bible and studied the Bible enough to know that you and I just did not just come into existence randomly? God the Father created us, and He blesses us so often. This statement here: people who think thank. Here's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4:7. And look at the logic that he uses here. He says, what do you have that you did not receive? How many of us in here, you've got something that did not originally come from God? Anyone? The fact of the matter is that all gifts, all blessings, they all come from God. And so Paul uses this example. What did you have that you did not receive? Back in the 1950s, in fact, Sam Crabtree, he was here at this event. Back in the 1950s, there was a strong man competition. And there's one man, there was a man who was announced as the strongest man in the world. He lifted 6,270 pounds. Was that unbelievable or what? 6,270 pounds. But then afterwards, he said this. He said that he couldn't take one single step unless God gave him the strength. And here he is in front of 5,000 people. Have you and I come to that same logical conclusion where Paul writes, what do you have that you did not receive? Acts chapter 17, verse number 25, Paul says this. He says, God himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. He's given us everything. God has created us and he has given us everything necessary to be sustained. In fact, if you want to throw the next slide on the picture, on the thing there, I thought about this last week. Did you know that there's even a pattern here regarding creation? Have you ever noticed this? In the creative week, when God created all things, he first of all formed light, and then he filled his creation with things that would make light, like the sun and the moon and the stars. On the second day, he created the sky and the sea, everything necessary to sustain life in those places. And then he created the birds on the fifth day and the fish. And then on the third day, he created land. And what did he do on the sixth day? He filled it. He created animals and humanity. And I love the pattern here, because what God did was that, first of all, he made sure that we would have everything necessary to be able to function, to be able to thrive. And then he created us. God is such a loving God, meeting our every needs. God has created us. He's given us everything necessary to be sustained. And notice this here in Romans chapter 8, verse number 32. Paul speaks and he says, who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? And if we maybe think categorically here for a second, first of all, what an awesome thing. And we're just skimming the surface here. God has blessed us so greatly in this creation and making sure that every single one of our needs are met. It's pretty awesome. There's no gift that we experience, that we enjoy here on this earth, that we did not receive. It all came from God. I know this is just the basics here, but then let's think about ourselves spiritually. Do you know that God has provided us with everything necessary to be able to thrive spiritually? For me to be able to grow in the person that God wants me to be. Notice here in 2 Peter chapter 1. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world because of sin, because of lust, because of sinful desire. So spiritually speaking, if we were just kind of take inventory of what happened to us spiritually when you and I turned to Christ in faith, on a spiritual level, you and I were literally regened at salvation. We were given the divine nature. When I trusted Christ, I became a new creature with incredible potential for growth and transformation. I am a partaker of the divine nature, having all the potential for maturity. So if we were to think about this categorically, in this physical life that we enjoy here on this earth today, God has given us everything necessary to sustain us. Now, I'm telling you, if you're anything like me, I don't have all my wants. But God has been good enough to give me all my needs. On the other hand, God has supplied everything necessary for me through the Holy Spirit from the inside out for me to grow into the person that God has created me to be. God is so good. He has supplied me with everything necessary. And of course, Paul says in Philippians 1:6, he says, I'm sure of this, that he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. If we were to, again, kind of revisit the main basic thought here, notice our first point. Thinking leads to thanking. Or we could say right thinking leads to thanking. When I really think about this, okay, that the fact that all good things come from a loving Heavenly Father, that there is nothing that I have received that did not come from some way, someone, someplace, ultimately from God. And if I think about this, just logically think, the right thinking leads to thanking. Let me ask you this morning, are you and I thinking correctly? Are we thinking correctly? We might think, okay, you know, man, I wish I had that and I wish whatever. And yet, I again think about the fact how God has been so good to us, whether we talk about physically here on this earth, spiritually, whatever. Every good gift comes from above. Thinking leads to thanking. Sam Crabtree writes this. He says, gratitude is the divinely given spiritual ability to see grace and the corresponding desire to affirm it and its giver as good. And so even when you and I might not feel like being thankful, God gives us the ability to thank. Notice in Romans 8:28. How many of you knew that we were eventually going to look at this verse? This verse, man, I love this verse. But it's almost like the only time that you and I hear it is when something bad is going on, right? Romans 8:28, notice this here. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for what? For good. For those who are called according to His purpose. That some things work together for good. That everything works together for good. Now, what about circumstances, or what about when circumstances, in my estimation, do not look good? Let me ask you this morning. How many of us find it easy? We find it natural to give thanks when things do not appear good. And yet, Paul says that all things work together for good. And so that's the reason, I think, for this passage that we looked at, our text, in everything, give thanks for everything and all that. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we find a similar command from Paul, totally different book, wording it a little bit differently. Paul writes, give thanks in what? All circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. What is the will of God? Well, there are different verses that speak about the will of God. One of them is that you and I would give thanks. How many of us this morning are in the will of God right now? This statement here from Sam Crabtree, again, very, very helpful thoughts here. He says, because God is always and everywhere at work doing good, there's never a time when God-honoring hearts are licensed to lapse from the soul-enriching practice of thankfulness. Every moment is another opportunity to observe, embrace, and appreciate with gratefulness the wondrous workings of God who works wonders even in ordinary things. Do you know when you and I establish a relationship with Christ, we put our faith and trust in Christ for salvation, establish a relationship with Him, that it is through His work of transformation in our hearts and lives. It is His transformation which enables me to have a thankful heart. So all what we're talking about here this morning is something that the Holy Spirit can do in our hearts and lives. In fact, I don't have it here on the screen here for you, but if we go back to our text, notice in verse number 18 of Ephesians 5, notice what Paul says here. He says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, that is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And the next three verses give us the result of being filled with the Spirit. One of them in verse number 19 is singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs. What's awesome about being controlled by the Holy Spirit is that there is a song in our hearts. Number two, in verse number 20, again, the same context here, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The next one, verse number 21, is about submitting. But in verse number 20, we find that the context, the whole context here, is spirit filling. Do you know that even when there are moments in my life when I might not feel like giving thanks, the Holy Spirit enables me to give thanks in all circumstances for everything? How many of us find this hard to swallow? Again, we're not talking about something that comes naturally here. We're talking about something that the Spirit enables us to do. This is from the work of transformation done in our lives. This statement here, Christ died to create a thankful heart in us, to generate in us what otherwise isn't there. And so for the Christian, one of the characteristics for me and you as Christians is it should be that you and I have a thankful heart. In fact, the story is told of a Chinese woman who fled China and examined Western culture. And she was trying to understand the differences between Buddhism and Christianity. And here's what she said. She made this generalization about Westerners. And this is what she said. She said, "They don't practice Thanksgiving, so they must not be Christians." They don't practice Thanksgiving, so they must not be Christians. What is it that the Holy Spirit does in our hearts and lives? He does many things, but one of them here is to develop in us a truly thankful heart. This foundation, this core of mental health and so many other things, which we'll talk about here in just a little bit. Notice with me our second point, thankfulness trusts God and His plan. Thankfulness trusts God and His plan. I love the story of Corrie Ten Boom. And if you know her story, this is just a little piece here. But her and her sister, Betsy, they found themselves in prison in, I want to say, was it Ravensbrück concentration camp? Is that the right one? Okay. Some of you know. But they were just absolutely disgusted to find out that their barracks was infested with fleas. And when Corrie began to complain, Betsy, her sister, insisted that they should give thanks. And they quoted this verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks." And so finally, Corrie, she came to the place, she said, "Okay, God, and I thank you for the fleas." If you know the story. Months later, the two sisters discover that the guards did not revisit their barracks to disrupt things, to prevent their Bible studies because of the fleas. Have you and I thanked God for the fleas? Again, we're talking about spirit filling here. I'm not up here saying, rah, 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 you know, let's be thankful for all things, blah, blah, blah.
We're talking here about something that only the Holy Spirit can do. Here's another way of thinking about it. When the bridge collapses, do I give thanks for the part of the bridge that's left only, or the part of the bridge that's missing? That's a little more difficult to do, isn't it? When the bridge collapses, do I give thanks for not just the part of the bridge that remains, but for the part that's missing? Giving thanks always and for all things. This is something that only eyes of faith can give to us. So Paul says, okay, give thanks in all things. And he says, in the context of spirit filling, okay, because there's no other way that I personally can give thanks in this circumstance. So God, I'm going to trust you. I think about Joseph. If you know his story. In the Bible, in the book of Genesis, I think it starts in chapter 37 and it goes all the way to the end of the book in chapter 50. What an awesome, beautiful picture. I think about a picture of the life of Christ. And yet in the early part of his life, and for probably, I don't know, for much of his life, I don't know the exact timeline as far as how old he was in various places. But I mean, first of all, being sold into slavery by your brothers. What a blessing. Going to your first place of service, being lied about, and going to your next place of service because you got to this next place because you were lied about, and this next place of service is prison. What a blessing. You interpret some guy's dreams who forget about you, the one guy that lives, he forgets about you for 2 full years. How many of us have ever had a bad day? Yet what was it that he said? And man, I've had a bad day. And I'm sure that some of the things that I've gone through, what others in this, even here in this room, there's probably many in here that have gone through things that are far greater than I have. And yet I think about this statement when his brothers, they're concerned about how they're going to be treated once their father dies. And what was it that Joseph said to them, reassuring them? He says, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for what? For good. To bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. Eyes of faith that see not just the circumstances that are taking place there. I think about, first of all, again, people who think. If we go back to creation, if we go back to this physical world and all that God has blessed us with, and then spiritually speaking, what God has done in me to make me fully into the person that God wants me to be. He has given me everything necessary to flourish spiritually. Okay, so people who think. If I think correctly, I will be a thankful person. But our second point here this morning is that thankfulness trusts God and his plans. Do I thank God not just for the part of the bridge that remains, but the part that's missing? Joseph said, "You meant it to me for evil, but God meant it for good, that many should be kept alive as they are today." Do you and I recognize this morning that God is at work, even in the things that grieve us? Even in the things that don't make sense. Just because our circumstances don't appear good does not mean that God is not good and that God is not doing good through those circumstances. Notice a statement by Sam Crabtree. And here I think it hits the nail on the head probably about better than anything that I could say. Notice the statement here. Ingratitude prejudges God before more of the story is revealed. How many of us this morning, the entire story of our lives has been revealed? Anyone? How many of us, just honestly, and we're thinking here, you know, once we get to heaven and what a day that'll be, and that'll be awesome. But how many of us, honestly, we've got some questions. And we're thinking, okay, you know, back in this circumstance where I felt like I was just trapped, or back in this circumstance over here, and God, it just doesn't make sense. Why wasn't there anyone there to help me? How was it that God allowed that person into my life, that circumstance that I didn't ask for? Why was it that I was dealt these cards? By the way, that makes such a difference, doesn't it? Sometimes, you know, me and the kids, Jessica, will all get together and play. This last week, one of my daughters, Annie, she was sick a little bit, and so for part of the week, and so I typically eat here at the church for lunch, but I went and I ate there and hung out with her, and we played an awesome game called Exploding Kittens. And I won't ask you, but if you haven't had the experience, I think maybe the main reason why God created kittens. No, anyways. But it's a great, you know, just a great thought, exploding kittens, and it's awesome. And it's amazing because, like, so much of what happens during the game, it's like, and me, this is maybe my victim thought here, okay? So much it seems to happen where, you know, like the cards that you are dealt makes a huge difference in your gameplay, you know, turn after turn after turn. The cards that you're dealt. Do you know that every card that you and I have been dealt, it has been dealt by a loving and a sovereign God? Every single one. In fact, what's interesting is that years ago there was this study that was done by two guys, and they discovered that you can shuffle a deck of cards 7 times and it will be completely random. And if you keep on shuffling after that, it makes no difference in how random it is. By the time you reach the 7th time, there's any possibility of order for the cards at that point. And some of us, we might look at the cards that we were dealt and whatever, and we might say, man, you know, why is it that this over here and why that over there? And yet 7 times. And I think about how every circumstance in my life, it might look like it was random, but it has the mark of God's perfection upon it because it came from Him. And I might not be able to explain it, but I can know that it came from a loving and a sovereign God. Do I give thanks in all things? If we could just think about the statement here one more time. The statement by Sam Crabtree. Ingratitude prejudges God before more of the story is revealed. Do you know that your story is not complete yet? It's not complete. And so when we stand before God one day, we're going to see in His wisdom, His entire plan. And I think maybe at that point, as we're up in heaven, we'll see God and His throne and His wisdom. And we'll see the perfection of His plan and say, you know what? At this point, all of my questions have melted away. Number one, people who think, thank. Number two, thankfulness trusts God in His plan. The reality is my story and your story, they're not done. And God is good every step of the way. Notice with me in Psalm 92 in verse number 1. Where the Bible says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. Let's say that phrase together. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. Gratitude has been called the parent virtue of all other virtues. The parent virtue. How important is Thanksgiving?
And think about just the personal benefit of thankfulness. Back in 2003, there was a thankfulness study that was done, and those and different categories of people, you know, record only bad events that happen in your life. That would be absolutely discouraging. And then there was a category that, hey, record every circumstance in your life. Okay. But then there was the category over here, those that recorded the events for which they were thankful. All of them had a more positive outlook in the following week, whatever. And you say, well, that's just psycho mumble jumbo, whatever. How many of us recognize that when God made us, he knew that it would be good for us to give thanks? It's a good thing. It's good to give thanks. In fact, Romans 2:4 tells us that it's the kindness of God that is meant to lead us to repentance. In other words, me thinking thankful thoughts and considering what God has done in my life, and even the bad things where I would look at it as bad and recognize the sovereign and loving hand of God through them. When I recognize the goodness of God that's been given to me, it directs my heart upward toward him. The gifts of God, everything that we enjoy and experience here in life, are meant to direct our hearts toward him. Gratitude is morally right, but it also prepares us to relate correctly to God. Thankfulness confesses God's lordship, his sovereignty, and his kindness to use his power on our behalf. It fuels confidence. It fuels hope that God will continue to work all things together for good. So it helps us to relate properly to God. But you know that also it helps us in our relationships here on this earth. Here in this earth and functioning, thankfulness liberates us from things like envy or jealousy, self-pity, malice, etc., etc., etc. It sanctifies mealtime. It sanctifies marriage. Thankfulness, this is very interesting to me. It guards our inner being like a sentry. Notice this here in Colossians chapter 4. I've personally never really noticed this before. Paul writes and he says, continue steadfastly in prayer. But then he says, be watchful in it with what? With thanksgiving. And the way that the Bible presents thanksgiving, it's almost like this attitude is standing guard at the door of our hearts. Thanksgiving. Checking everything that comes in, making sure I think correctly about everything that comes into my heart. Is thankfulness standing guard at the door of my heart? So it helps me to relate correctly to God, but then also in functioning here on this earth, it helps me to think properly about events and circumstances that happen in my life. It keeps me from jealousy. It keeps me from envy, all of these wonderful things. But what about expressing thanksgiving to other people? The power of expressing thanks. It's energy giving. It's encouraging. Recently on a Sunday morning, this group of friends, they regularly do this, it sounds like, but they were out paragliding. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Paragliding, okay? So this last week, we saw this while we were at the youth conference. We were coming back home trying to remember, okay, exactly what it's called. I was thinking parasailing, paramotor, whatever. But you basically have like a motorized propeller on your back, okay? And there's sometimes, I've seen people even here in Grants Pass doing this. There's like this, basically a parachute over you that's kind of shaped like a wing. And you've got a motor on your back. How many of you right now, you know enough about this sport where you're like, I'm in? Okay, maybe not. Only the teenagers. Anyways. I guess if you're crazy enough to go skydiving, maybe this is a good. Anyways.
But they were this group of friends. They were out paragliding and they noticed. They looked down. This is what they saw in a canal. This was in Miami. I don't know if you could see this, but that is a car that is in the canal. And this lady, I don't know if she had been in here. It's kind of hard to tell by the article if she was there just for a few minutes or 12 hours. But there were alligators there and everything. But she was hanging on. She was on the outside of her car. She was hanging on. And so these paragliders came over. I mean, think about this. Like, probably the only people that would have ever discovered that she was there. And so they were paragliding over. If someone was in a plane, they would have never seen this. At least I don't think they would have. I don't know. And they saw this, and so both of these, or however many there were, these paragliders, they land in this field, this dangerous field between power lines. They make this emergency landing, and they rescue this lady with the help of a neighbor. And so it's a cool story and awesome. But I think about this. Do you and I know how important it is for someone to hear an expression of thankfulness? I mean, when I see someone and maybe how they've contributed to me personally or done something for me to express thanksgiving. Some of us, I don't know if you've ever felt this way before, but there's been times in my life where I've been so discouraged, and I don't know if the Holy Spirit prompts someone and they speak someone, but I feel like I'm drowning. And someone in their expression of thanksgiving to me, it was said at the right moment, the right spirit, and encouraged me at the time that I needed it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And it might look like everything is okay. Here's what I've discovered. I don't know what your thought is on this, but isn't it oftentimes the ones that look like they have it all together, or at least they try to make it look like it, they are often the ones that need that expression of thanksgiving stated verbally? When someone thanks me, and maybe when someone has thanked you, it's amazing what a statement like that can do. This energy giving statement. It's like fresh air to our soul. It's like they breathe life into our souls. And I wonder this week, maybe someone, you and I, we have no idea, but the Holy Spirit says, hey, encourage them. Express your thanksgiving to that person. And we have no idea how desperate they needed it. Thank God for this, even from person to person. Proverbs 16:24 says this, gracious words. By the way, in the Greek language, the word thanksgiving, it's the same root as the word grace. And this is what he says. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. People need to hear my expression of thanksgiving for themselves. Notice number three, it is good to give thanks, both for me spiritually. For me spiritually and in my walk with God, because it helps me to relate correctly to God. It's a good thing because it helps me to not be jealous, not be envious, and whatever you fill in the blank. But then also, when I express thanksgiving to someone else, it's like I breathe life into their soul and encourage them. And I wonder, who is it that God would maybe want me to encourage this week? It might look like they're just encouraged and they're just doing great, and yet the Holy Spirit says, hey, encourage them. Speak life into their soul. Notice with me number three, it's good to give thanks. And here, let's kind of take a step back here. I love the way that Sam Crabtree writes this and kind of gives us a whole big picture of what happens here with Thanksgiving.
God, who is love, fastens his love upon us in mighty deeds and sufficient revelation. Our God awakened powers of observation recognize his love as love. And our hearts find it satisfying. This satisfaction overflows in irrepressible daily hopefulness and purposefulness amounting to gladness. Then we can easily say with Paul, how can we thank God enough and give our best efforts in doing just that? Here's the cliff notes. We see all that God has done. We are overwhelmed and we express thanks. Let me ask you, first of all, this morning, are you and I thinking correctly? Have we recognized that all gifts come from above? Have we recognized that even when I don't understand it, my story is not complete. Your story is not complete. And so we can come to God and say, God, I don't understand what you're doing here, but I trust you. I know that my story is not complete. And I know that in however you're going to do this, you're going to bring about good. And so, God, I'm willing to trust you and thank you right now, even though I don't understand. It is good to give thanks. Me personally, it does wonders for me. The parent of all other virtues, me giving thanks for myself, correctly orienting my heart toward God, blessing other people, maybe not even knowing it, but the encouragement that they needed at that moment, expressing thanks. I hope that you and I are thankful people. God has blessed us so abundantly, and there's so many reasons for which to give thanks. Let's go and pray together. God, we thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. You've given us so many reasons for which to be thankful. And some of them, God, we might not naturally just respond in thanksgiving to. But God, I pray that you'd help us. I pray that you would give us discernment. Even in these circumstances that we don't understand, I pray that we would trust you enough to thank you for them. God, we recognize the sanctifying work that thanksgiving does in our hearts and what it does in our hearts toward you and our hearts toward this world. And God, as we express thanksgiving toward other people, we might not even be aware of the rescue that they're in need of, and yet that expression of thanksgiving, how it breathes life into their soul and encourages them. God, I pray that you'd help us to be a truly thankful people. God, help us to think. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I just want to give you a moment here. And I don't know if maybe God touched anyone's heart here in a special way. Maybe this is a circumstance in your life right now that maybe the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, this is one of those for which to be thankful. Maybe you're here this morning and maybe it's just a thankful heart in general. Maybe for some, this is just a reminder. And generally, you're a thankful person. Whatever it might be. The greatest gift that we have ever been given is what Jesus gave to us through the cross 2,000 years ago when he gave his life for me and for you. And I wonder this morning, have you personally experienced that that gift that he offers to mankind? Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And maybe this morning, God might be speaking to your heart and saying, hey, you've never done this. You've never called upon me for salvation, to establish a relationship with me. And right, even from your seat, as God is working on your heart, maybe you've come to the place where you realize your desperate need before God and your sin account. Jesus died on the cross some 2,000 years ago and rose again that he might give you his righteousness and give you new life. And if you're here, I would encourage you, right even here from your seat, you can call upon Christ for that salvation. I wonder, are you and I thankful people? Do we think?